Morning. You know, we assemble around this table often, and we often talk about the death and the burial and the resurrection, which is totally appropriate and, of course, the intent. But this morning, I want you to think about one other thing that I think was also intended by this table. I think, in fact, the words that I'm about to talk or speak, some of them are written on your heart, and I'm going to prove it to you. But today we live in a divided world. Would you agree? We seem to be divided by so many things that, you know, socially, politically, economically, we seem divided on everything in so many ways. We talk about social justice issues and how important it is to have racial and gender equality and education and wealth gaps to be addressed, and those things are all really, really important and right for us to address. But this morning, I want you to think about how man addresses those issues and how God addresses those issues. Is it God's desire for us to be so divided? John 17 says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that they all may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you." Jesus also said, "A house divided against itself, that house cannot stand." Galatians 3:28 says, "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." That last one is amazing to me. Neither slave nor free, male nor female, Jew nor Gentile, for you are all one. I want to suggest to you that around this table is the only place in this world where we will ever find unity and equality. And it's not because we all rise to the same level of unity and equality. It's because we all go to the lowest level of who we actually are and where we stand. Romans 3 says, "There's no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." I knew you knew these. "And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came from Christ Jesus." You see, around this table, it's not about how we become equal to each other. It's because of our sin, we are all the same. In fact, even our sin doesn't differentiate us here around this table, because Isaiah says, "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they will be like wool." So around this table is the only place in this entire world where there is actually true unity and true equality, because before this table we stand as sinners, and we stand as sinners justified through this sacrifice. Jesus said, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I in you." So together, let's celebrate what God has done in his wisdom. He has made us all one. And he's made us all equal and exactly the same because of this sacrifice, because of the tree, and because of that gift that he's given to us. Let's pray together. Father, in our world we are so divided, but around this table we are one. We are one because of the sacrifice. There's no difference between us, Father, because we all stood in need of a Savior. We all found a Savior at the foot of the cross. We ask, Father, that you bless this bread that represents the body that unifies us as one. In Jesus' name, amen. You remember the temple in the Old Testament, how the temple was designed? There was the court of the Gentiles, there was the court of the women, there was the court of Israel, there was the court of the priests, there was the holy place, and there was the Holy of Holies. Even the temple separated people in terms of who they were and how they could worship. Matthew 17 says, "And when Jesus cried out again in a last loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. It was at that moment that everyone became equal. Everyone had the same access to God because of the blood. I don't remember who I asked.
May we pray. Dear Jesus, we know your spirit is here with us in this building at this time. And we thank you for your spirit being with us. And your spirit, along with the blood that you shed, is here. So as we partake of this fruit of the vine, which represents that blood and that spirit which you freely gave, may we do it in a manner that is pleasing in your sight and concentrate on your great gift of salvation that you gave us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Is anyone overlooked? You know, we take this time usually to collect a contribution. And I want to thank you for what you're going to give today and what you purposed in your heart to give. But I also want to ask you a question and get you thinking about next week. I'd like you to do two things for me. One of them is look at the back of the bulletin and check how we're progressing against our budget. Sometimes we struggle there. But secondly, in light of the conversation we just had, you know, there's a lot of great places that demand and we could give our money. But there's no place that offers unity, salvation, and oneness like a sacrifice given to this family here in support of his ministry. Let's pray, please.
Dear Lord and Father, thank you for all the gifts you've bestowed in our lives. Thank you for give us this time now to open our hearts and minds and to give as we can give, knowing that you've given us so much in our lives. In his name we pray.